public input. We will call you up. You can come up. We'll let you know. Stand up here, announce your name and address, and we'll go from there. Okay, first item, approval of the minutes from July 10th, 2018. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we accept the minutes, both the work session and the regular minutes, for July 10th, 2018.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. Opposed, like sign. Okay, minutes are approved. Okay, old business. Nothing on old business. New business. Application number 19-20001, annexation request, 503 Palm Drive by Rebecca Randolph. Is Ms. Randolph here? Is there anybody opposed to this application for annexation? Okay, do I have a motion?
Yeah, Dr. Chairman, based on application by Ms. Rebecca Randolph, application number 19-20001, annexation request, current zone RC, proposed zone RS-15, and there are no possible conditions. I recommend that we send this to council.
Okay, second. Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Okay. It is unanimously passed. Okay, 3B, application number 19-22001, concept plan revision request from Pin Oak Farms by Absolute Storage Management, Inc. Do we have anybody who wishes to speak on behalf of this application?
Yes, sir. My name is David Banks. I'm the engineer. My company did engineer the Pin Oak, the original, I think it was in 2006, the original Pin Oak Farms. And we're requesting this tonight as for my client, which is with me tonight. He'll speak also. I know there were some questions about access and it is proper. There were two items in the agenda that was mailed out that questioned the access being onto Whiskey Road versus, you know, into.
You mean Silver Bluff?
Silver Bluff. I'm sorry. Wrong site. That was
wrong site. Wrong site.
Yes, and this business will be serving not just Pin Oak, but it will be serving the Woodside, which been discussed is this very lacking this type of business, this storage business. My client will talk about that later, but in putting the driveway where it was internally connected, I felt it was not a good choice because it would bring more traffic, not a lot of traffic because our numbers are very low, but it would bring more traffic to that neighborhood, you know, because that road is built for their neighborhood. It's an ideal location for a driveway. DOT is widening that portion of the road. You know, there's it's not in the tapers there. We've not known the DOT, but I see no reason why they would not allow us to have that driveway. It just makes sense from a business.
So DOT is going to have to approve this.
Yes, DOT will have to approve this.
Okay.
There's no. Yes, that is. Yes. We hope they'll approve it.
But I mean, you're going to have their approval before you build it. Well, will you build it if they disapprove it?
You'd have to ask my client. He'll speak next.
Name is Michael Haw, Absolute Storage.
Okay.
I have a presentation, but I thought I'd start by answering questions and then.
Are you going to build it if they don't approve the access off of Silver Bluff?
Probably not. That's important to us. what we're trying to do is build something that, there's a picture of it up here, that fits in, and is also screened, and we don't want to cause a lot of congestion on Pascalis. Not that we generate a lot of traffic, but we'll generate some. And so the idea was to funnel it all to Pine Bluff and leave that lot in between on the south side of the power lines,
yeah,
just undisturbed for now. There's a pretty significant amount of vegetation there now around the whole lot. We plan to keep really all of that, except where the building's going, obviously, and then add additional screening so it's screened. The only thing that you'll see, or not the only thing, but initially you'll see some of the building, but over time it'll be mostly the front. So on Ryan's suggestion, he's been great, by the way, the planning guys have been great. We're designing it to look like a horse barn, and we've got a sketch of it there and additional ones to come. We don't have them for tonight, but trying to get it to blend in the area. There's definitely a need for this product, certainly in this area, we think. We love South Carolina. We've done a lot of business here. We've got several projects going, mostly upstate. We have a couple in Augusta. And when we looked around other parts of the state, determined that there's no, in this section of Aiken, there's no good options for customers. They got to go across town, go up to Whiskey Road. There's two locations, and then there's one to the northwest of our site, all of which have done well. There's just not a lot of availability of units, so that's attracted us to the market. It's good that we think to have competition. And what we're building is a little bit different, again, than what you see typically when people hear self-storage. They think, I'm going to see rows and rows of doors. There's not going to be any visible exterior doors on this building. That picture now, it's a little bit hard to show you, but there will be no visible doors from the road except to get inside the building.
And those will be access from the inside?
Yeah, all the units are interior except a few towards the back. Those units.
So you're going to have to build back trucks and all that stuff back in there in the
right,
interior?
Yeah, if you pull up the site plan, let me show you.
Are they all temperature controlled?
They are. Everything's the folks will, there'll be a gate here, so everybody will have their own access control point. Every customer will have their own code to get in, and we'll have cameras sprinkled throughout the whole property. So that's, I think most of the folks in the business now have cameras, but we'll have about a dozen cameras record on motion. So once you come in, if you rent a unit, if you come back later, you'll come in, you'll enter here, and you'll go in one of these entry points to get inside the building, and your unit is inside, it's temperature controlled. You'll conduct your business, and then you'll exit here back on the Silver Bluff. So there's about 300 units on the inside of the building. Everything from the size of that little unit here up to about 350, 400 square feet. So about 10 different sizes. And again, the emphasis on this is just, it's a different product type than what's in the marketplace today or what's currently in town. There's half a dozen here, and all of them have, for the most part, visible doors, which we recognize that's something that, especially in this part of town, people don't want to see that. And so we've been, over the last couple of years, adapting to that, us as a company and to some extent the industry. Anything that's being built new looks more like as this type of design versus, endless rows of units on the facility. But that, back to your point, the access, for us it's important to have traffic here because there's neighborhoods here and here. We're servicing the surrounding community, and we don't want to cause a problem down here with any additional traffic.
Can you clarify one more time? There will be no exterior storage.
No, we would like to put a few up in here. We don't have to, but we wanted to have a few in the corner. Again, where it's screened, where nobody can see them, just to have a little bit of variety and options. But they will not be seen from the road. And long-term, the plan, as this fills, this is pretty thick right here. We don't have any current development plans for that, so it's the whole tract of land. We're just developing basically a third of it. We plan to heavily screen it and make it look good. It'll be the first one that we do that will look like a horse barn, but that's what was suggested, and we will do that.
Okay, any questions by anybody that...
But have you all submitted an application to DOT yet for the permit?
We have not.
No, so that is the time to get past this stage and to actually start design.
Did you have any conditions on this line?
We did have some possible conditions, and they were mostly just compliance with the ordinance, and that it would, with landscaping, tree preservation, signage, and the typical ones with submitting a revised concept plan and signing an agreement with conditions of approval. But as it notes, there is a waiver requested for the access there on 2B on page 2, but also there's kind of, it's more, we weren't sure if it was a waiver and interpretation that the board would make regarding the size. So the full parcel is 11 acres, but they would be developing only a portion of that, 4%, which is the maximum allowed by the PR zone district.
Yeah.
The only other thing, I'll wait for discussion, but I'll address the question to you guys on lighting, because there are residential areas right adjacent to that. Is there a plan to address the lighting to make it where you've got it safe, but at the same time not interfere with the residential?
Yeah.
Everything we're doing now is on motion sensors. And we restrict access generally 6 in the morning till 10 at night. So, and then each light, and we'll work with the city, is how much light they want on the exterior. In this community, I think we'd shine them down more. But they won't be on unless somebody comes in and drives by that light to go to their unit. They'll stay on maybe 20 minutes, and then they'll turn off.
And motion. There'd be motion.
Yeah, each light has its own motion sensor. Yeah. So they don't light up until you drive. Drive up to it,
and you'll have a sign, and you'll have you talk to Ryan about that. But assuming they approve the DOT approves them.
Yeah.
Did you consider a secondary access from the development, from the Pascalis?
Yeah, we elevation wise, it was kind of an issue.
We have looked at it. It didn't seem to work at all. It's about the same distance.
I don't mean change what you have. I mean keep the Silver Bluff entrance. Did you look at a secondary access?
Have we looked at it? Yes, and we just didn't.
As a secondary, not a.
The problem with it is it would take. I mean, your comment is it. It wouldn't just divide that piece of property and have next to it, because we cannot run in the power line. That greenish darker line is a power line,
right?
And we can't run parallel with it inside it. So it would basically take up the whole property to get there. We'd have to meander it up. And elevation wise, that's a low point through there,
right?
And it really just didn't make sense.
Now, speaking of drainage, have you looked at the drainage and how much stormwater you're going to have?
Yeah, I mean, we designed that other section, and we know there was some issues in the past with it, and it's been addressed. I think we're going to have to go back and look and see how much available storage is with this. We may have to add to it. We're going to meet the current city's codes, which are pretty stringent. And I know there's some ponds downstream, and we've already talked about that. And how we're going to handle it exactly is create more volume for what we're doing, probably. Probably we'll have it either stand alone detention pond
which the ponds were originally sized for apartments to go there.
Yeah.
And those were built for the entire development. We're probably going to look at that because we know there's some downstream issues.
You think you may have to enlarge that retention pond?
Well, that'll be the minimum. We will have to create more volume for it. That's a for sure thing.
Okay. Greg, would the property be sprinkled? Would you have a sprinkler system in there?
Fire
sprinkler system in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, Ryan, who needs to look at that, but the distance around the building is going to have to be large enough to have fire apparatus coming in. I don't know off the top of my head what that...
Yeah, correct. So we would have that reviewed as part of the site plan review process.
Yeah.
There's sufficient space to accommodate it as far as the site's concerned, but we would have them specifically review that. If the concept plan were to be approved, then it would have to go through the normal site plan review process. We would look at those public safety type items, landscaping, all those sorts of components more specifically.
Thank you.
Well, looking at it now, I see there's, because you've got these gates that allow you access to the whole piece of property, it would really be hard to connect.
Yeah, we would have
a subdivision. You couldn't do it. You'd have to run something, adjacent, right next to Silver Bluff or something. I didn't realize you'd have these motion actuated gates coming in. It's a little more sophisticated storage facility than I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
It's set up to be screened from when you're coming through. If we kind of also add roads in there, it opens it up, so it's.
Correct me if I'm wrong, they would only be accessed from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Even with the gate code, they couldn't access the property after hours.
That's correct.
Okay.
The office hours are normal business hours.
You'll have a management company run that for you?
Yeah, we operate them. There'll be two employees. And it's a quiet use. And again, back in the security, it's a big part of the way we design them, is so that anybody can feel comfortable when they're there.
If they come and set up, nobody's in the office, they'll still feel comfortable
knowing that there's cameras throughout the facility and they have a keypad to get in, and it's well lit.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Okay, thanks. Anybody wants to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
My name is Michael Hertzberg. I live in Colleton Park at 318 Pascalis. Could the council give us a definition of the phrase that explains what this is about?
What this is about?
Yeah.
The applicants here is requesting basically approval to revise the concept plan that they were originally granted within the Pin Oaks Farm / Carlton Park Plan Residential Development.
So
they're requesting an amendment, a change to the concept plan, and just to let you know, it comes to the Planning Commission. We vote up or down whether we will agree, whether we agree with the change that they're requesting, and then it goes to the City Council. And the City Council then, we're an advisory body.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not making the final call, we just make a recommendation.
It seems to me that they're taking 6 out of the 11 acres, and really, I thought that they should be applying for a zoning change. It's a majority of the property. They want to change from residential to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you want to
with regard
that
to the drawing, the architectural rendering, that shows a long string of single-story storage units next to the barn structure. The plan that you had, the site plan, only shows the barn, and there is no room for the other items that are on the drawing.
Well, you see the drawing. You see Silver Bluff where it's the narrow side is. The narrow side is facing Silver Bluff. My understanding is we might have to take that baby out. My understanding is that you're going to pull in and you're going to drive down the side, yeah, and you're going to enter along the side. That's the way it looked to me.
The drawing shows all these single-story storage units, and they don't appear on the site plan. The only building that appears is the large two-story.
Do you want to address that? I mean, I think I understand it.
He's right.
Pardon?
The way it looks, sir, you're correct in that. If you flip back one, this here, and then if you flip forward from, so that's this piece right here. These will be here. These will not. They do look like outside doors. They won't be built. We'll get that revised and pulled out, so they're not there, so that you won't see them from Silver Bluff.
Okay.
But you will see there's three entry points, and we're still kind of working on exactly what they'll look like, but they'll have a barn, horse barn. There's work to be done, for sure, along the side, but there will not be visible storage doors.
Oh, so that's the side?
That's the side. This is the front.
Yeah, and that's the back? It's really not an L-shaped construction project.
No, it's a rectangle. And this is what's going to face Silver Bluff and the majority of what you'll see.
Well, not according to your drawing.
If you...
The site plan shows...
This area right here,
yeah,
if you go back for me, is this.
It's not this end, cable end?
This is the skinny end. And this is it's not drawn completely. This goes on down.
It's all under one roof.
It's all one building.
It's all under one roof in one building. A big rectangular thing.
There is the issue about the driveway entrance. When you stand at on Silver Bluff, where the driveway is shown, on the upper right hand side,
right
there.
I see it.
You can't see more than 150 feet north because the road rises.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And the cars that are coming south on Silver Bluff, the speed limit turns from 35 to 45. Just above the end of this drawing. So the cars are coming down the hill towards Pascalis at a pretty good clip. Nobody drives 45, you know. They're all driving 55.
So that's why DOT is going to have to approve the entrance. For that,
finally,
probably that analysis, same safety analysis.
Is there any advantage to the rest of the community to create a commercial zoning area on this property?
You want to just briefly go into a little bit of that, Ryan, why the zoning?
Right. So the zoning for a planned residential district allows up to 4%, I believe, of the development to be... 4% of a planned residential development to be commercial, and it says that the commercial that were to go there, if approved as part of a concept plan, should be something that would serve the planned residential development.
Is the word commercial ever defined?
non-residential.
I mean, it could be a gas station or it could be a barbershop.
Right, as far it, right, correct. But as part of a concept plan approval, in this case, you're talking about a specific use being designated. So essentially, what is shown here. You almost think of a concept plan revision as a rezoning and that it has to be this specific thing that goes there. So they couldn't swap this out, for instance, with a gas station without having to go all the way back through the same hearing process and that sort of that, approval
Thank
process.
Thank you very much.
A few more questions. I'm Cheryl Ruggles and I live on Huron, and I'm right where the top left corner is, and that's really close to my backyard. So I am not sure if you're planning on a chain link fence, barbed wire. Are you going to have like 20 feet of trees between so I don't have to see it? So that's my
25 foot buffer. Back bordering the Jim Lakes.
That's me. And that's really close.
It is close.
So I don't want to see anything. So sure we'd have trees and.
There'll be the existing vegetation that's in that whole area is not going to be disturbed. So this whole area.
Just the easement's right there.
Right on
our backyard, we have the easement as well. So. You're right. That's pretty close.
We can add back if we need to add back some additional screen in there.
And are you planning to chain link fence it?
There'll be no barbed wire. There'll be a fence that goes around it so that nobody can come through it. We usually do an ornamental black fence, which looks nicer than chain link. And it'll just wrap around here, and that keeps people, you know, from coming in or out.
Well, because it's so close, I vote for a shorter storage unit.
Go just shrink it.
We took the trouble to look on the website for the management company and looked at all of their Atlanta and Augusta units, except for two, which are multi-story buildings. The property is surrounded by a chain link fence. There are signs that say boxes for sale. Most of them have rental or truck rental offices on the property, and so the parking lot has a lot of trucks parked in it.
Mm-hmm. We're not approving that. Depending on where they are in location, the places you looked at, a lot of these storage buildings are in commercial zones.
Yeah.
You know, where they're obvious and there's fence and there's, and in, you know, a straight commercial zone, you can put a whole lot of things in there. This is, in order for them to do that, they'd have to come back again to the Planning Commission and then to the City Council if they wanted to do anything like you're talking about.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Della Hertzberg. This is my husband that was just speaking, and I also live in Pascal's place. And I appreciate them going forward and having this lovely barn-looking structure. But when we looked at all these sites online, there were a couple that looked very nice, lovely buildings in a nice position. But as he said, they all had these massive signs outside, including boxes that stood at least this high or maybe higher, saying, "We sell boxes."
Mm-hmm.
I would say 90% of those websites that we looked at, that's what they had out on the street, not in on their property, but out on the street, mm-hmm. as well as signs on their chain link fences or whatever fences they had that said 24-hour business. Now, they tell us that it's only going to be 6 to 10 access, but they also have, and they said it was light traffic, but they also have a store inside that sells the boxes, that sells packing equipment, that sells shipping equipment, etc. So there's also traffic not only from the cars that are coming or trucks that are coming in with for storage, but there's also traffic to going to the store. So that adds more egress and ingress to the driveway that's off Pascalis. The driveway off Pascalis, I drive that two or three times a day in each direction, and I will tell you, right now, it's really scary without additional traffic. And when we're thinking about that traffic going in and out of that driveway, the problem is it's not a car going in and out of the driveway, as most of us have in either Pin Oaks or Colleton. There are trucks going in and out. There are cars or SUVs with trailers with people's furniture and whatever belongings they have. And you come down that hill from, say, Woodside, you come past Savannah, the traffic goes to 45 miles an hour, and people are zooming past. Sometimes it takes me 5, 6, 7 minutes to get out of Pascalis now. So, but that's with a car or an SUV. So you have those trucks going in and out of that driveway. It is going to be a danger spot.
Yes, you may be right. That's why DOT is going to have to look at it. I don't know what they'll do. Okay. Yes, sir. You want to say something?
Yeah, but it's a different challenge to see the traffic.
You're talking about the bicycles? Yes, sir. You just need to hang on. We're still dealing with this one.
I knew I would have been quick.
Somebody come on up.
I hope you can hear me. I don't speak normally, obviously. Could you go back to the site plan, please? When DOT is talking about access onto Pascalis, they're talking about turning lanes. I don't see anything in that drawing about turning lanes, and I think the point of guard moving storage pieces without turning lanes is going to create hazard, not only for the community, but also for the residents in the surrounding areas. So I would say, if the Planning Commission has anything they can add to DOT, it would be to make sure that there are turning lanes there. The other thing that I don't see on that drawing is what I would consider sufficient parking. If I look at that road of trees, it is in close proximity to the building. Considering the traffic pattern, is it going to be a two-way around the building or a single direction around the building? There's no indication there, and I haven't heard anything about that. So I have a question about traffic flow going around the building. Also, the space for fire trucks is certainly going to have to make that wider than I'm seeing on that drawing. So, while it looks like it's going to be screened well, a lot of that property is going to start being taken up by parking, by access, by fire trucks, and I don't see any indication of that. I also don't see any indication of waste management. Where's the garbage? How do you screen the garbage for those? Now you have garbage trucks coming in to pick up packing material, things that are left behind. And if they're selling commercial stuff, now you have delivery trucks with their wrappings. Where is that going to be on that plan? Because I don't see anything there about it. And that concerns me because there are some more pieces that are missing off that drawing that I think the Planning Commission should be asking about. So access from Silver Bluff for safety reasons, traffic control around the building. Where's waste management? And when I hear there'll be some units outside, where's some units? And what kind of restrictions will there be on what can be stored out there? Are they boats? Are they, what are they? Because different heights, can be seen from different places. The other thing that I want to make sure we talk about is all along Silver Bluff. There's no commercial development. This would be the first piece from Down Lake over to Richardson Lake Road. The first piece of commercial. Now, everything else has got setbacks and berms and nice attractive landscaping. I would love to see a detailed landscape plan to make sure that the nature of the community is protected, because I think that's an important part of our community and why we are there. We can't keep expanding the commercial nature of the city and sacrifice the beauty of the residential areas. So those are my concerns, and I wanted to express them to the Planning Commission, and hope you will consider them as you go through this, and in fact, as the developers, to provide you with answers to those questions. Thank you very much. And by the way, my name is Eric Wright, and I live on Pinky Place, which is up in the Dollywood Park area. Oh, one other thing, if it's motion sensor control lighting, that means lighting is on, off, on, off, on, off. Are we going to be a flash bulb effect? So that can be just as disconcerting as down lighting. Thank you.
I'm interested, based on what he said about the traffic. Is it a continuous flow traffic, or are they go in and then come out and go back the same way?
There's arrows on the map. I think it's very hard to see.
It's hard to see.
We have to set up for a 30-foot wide lane, which does a number of things. It allows for two-way traffic and the car parking. It also allows for fire access, because they need a 20-foot travel lane.
Right.
10-foot of what we're building. So they can fight fires and still have it.
Right.
But yes, there is traffic. We have a circular traffic all the way around.
Flows all the way around.
Yeah.
And what about this store? What about the issue of the store? Is there going to be a store inside here?
There's an office. And young lady's right that we do sell locks and boxes. We sell them to the public. It's a very small generator of activity. It's mostly for the tenants. It's really a convenience. We sell mostly locks. We do sell boxes. Obviously, if people are moving, they'll come in and buy boxes.
But all the advertising and all that stuff would be inside. Is that right? We're not putting a bunch of signs anywhere.
If you pull up our website, you're 100% right. We have 112 locations, and probably 80 of them are in communities that don't care what kind of signage you have, if you put flags in it. But then the other 30 or so in communities like here, where we're not going to do that, and it's not allowed. We're building something. We want to build something that's kind of pretty much unique to the area, and is a low traffic generator overall compared to some of the other uses that someone else might want to present here. Have it look nice. Have it screened away from all the communities or all the houses around it. And I think you saw some pictures. I've got some that we brought, but. Of some of the nicer ones, those are the newer ones
in communities
like these.
Mr. Chairman, just...
Yeah, well, please come up, state your name, your address.
My name's Alan Parkman, 228 Harvest Lane, Pin Oak Subdivision. How many units are going to be in this facility?
A little over 300.
And out of that 300, what is your projected percentage of occupation?
85 to 90% of them after. It takes a couple of years to
build. All right, say you have 85% occupancy. What do you think the flow rate for traffic of 85% of 300 units is going to be in a daily period?
That means we'll have about 250 to 280 tenants, and maybe 10%, 15% will come to the other uses.
Okay, so that's going to add, what, 10% of traffic that we don't have now?
20, 30 cars.
We checked the traffic generating models through ITE, the transportation models. It projects at about 80 total trips a day. So it's about equivalent to 8 single family homes.
Well, as a resident of Pin Oak Farm, I would like to see that there not be any signage allowed outside of the building whatsoever, except maybe a sign at the road indicating that there's a storage facility there. I don't think there should be any banners or any outside signage whatsoever on the fences or the building or anywhere else. Maybe just a sign indicating that there's a storage facility there. So far as hours of operation, why not do away with the lighting and have operation from daylight till dark? That way you don't have to worry about lighting. They don't have to worry about paying a light bill, and I don't have to worry about where the lights are being shown. Another thing, are they requesting that this entire property be rezoned commercial? And if they do, what's to stop them 5 or 6 years from now coming back and deciding they want to build another area down on the lower part of this property? If they're going to have this rezoned area that they're talking about commercial, and have it understood in writing somewhere so that you folks or somebody can come back later on and say, the only thing you can build down here are residential properties that match the properties in either Pin Oak Farm or Colleton Park. I thank you for your time.
Well, as we said, it's not... we're not rezoning. I don't know that we would want to zone. I would not want to zone this commercial. If you zone a commercial, you really open the door. And so, speaking for myself, I don't know about the rest. I don't believe anybody wants to zone this thing commercial. We're not doing a rezoning here. We're allowing a change, if you want to say that, amendment to the concept plan. So it's very specific. It's only amending it to allow this.
So, Mr. Chairman, and just to clarify that the zoning ordinance does say that it cannot exceed, a commercial use cannot exceed 4% of a planned residential development, and this would take up the entire 4% for this particular development.
Okay, you did the number, ran the number.
Correct, yes.
Is it not 5?
Maybe it was 5.
5%.
Sorry, 5. Yeah,
I keep saying 4.
Yeah, they have 4. Correct, it's 5.
Well, this is the only revision they can ask for that's going to change the original concept plan.
Commercial. And correct. If you want to consider this commercial, it is commercial in a way. Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Tom DeRocher, and I live at 1966 Huron Drive, which is on the north side. And an observation, the foliage you talk about is pretty scrubby. I don't know, were you planning to do anything other than just leave it exist? And then my concern is, you see a lot of these storage places around, and they have the storage units, but then they have boats and campers and everything else parked around. It doesn't look like you're going to have enough room to do a whole lot, unless you did it on my side. This is very interesting to me. I wasn't aware that this was going on, and I live next to it. And I sympathize with people trying to use that land for anything. And to me, this looks like a decent use of that land. And compared to other things going on, we had but several years ago, somebody wanted to put a hay processing farm or something. Business on the other side of Silver Bluff and stuff like that. So as long as we can keep it, in a residential type of setting,
That's good. As I understand it, there's not going to be any outside storage. I know what you're saying. It's all going to be internal.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That's the way I understand it.
This is a new concept I hadn't seen before, and I've seen the other ones with everything parked all around. So,
Jack, I'm sorry. We have heard tonight from Michael that you were going to consider a minimal amount of outside storage. So I'd like to clarify that, if you could, for the commission. Is it going to, or are you planning to allow outside storage, yes or no?
We can take it out.
No. We know there's we might want to put that in the motion.
Okay.
What was the answer? I couldn't hear him. Sorry.
Said no.
No.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And on the signage, there are residents in the Woodside signage, in the Memory Center signage, in the Executive Bar signage, in the Gem Lake signage, the Finn Oak signage. Can we stay within that style room and not talk about lighted up neon signs, but something that stays within the character of the area? I'd ask that the planning commission consider that significant.
Would our sign ordinance deal with that?
Yeah.
I think it would.
Right, so the sign ordinance, I believe, would require a ground-mounted, so a monument sign, and it does have a limited size. I believe it's, we have to look at that, but...
it's in here.
Yeah, I'm trying to
see it.
Roughly 40 square feet total. It would... Currently, our sign code allows for one banner per street frontage that can't exceed, I have to look it up.
Just consistent with our current zoning ordinance for our signage, based on what we're doing.
So they haven't presented any signs, but there is a... So there's two ways you could do that. You could either have a specific sign approved as part of a concept plan, or you could, what staff has here, would be deferring to the standard sign code of the city, which would require, a ground mounted, so a monument sign, I believe 40 square feet, because it's similar to a commercial industrial type use. And then I'm looking for my...
Or we can say no outside signs except for one sign to be approved by the planning commissioner.
Number two, what he says, that the signs comply with the requirements of the zoning ordinance, so I think that's going to be...
I think we're okay on that.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Okay.
I had a question, Jack.
Yes.
If I could. So, as far as waste disposal goes, will you have dumpsters outside the building, or have you gotten that far?
We have not. We typically have a four-yard dumpster that we are required to screen with a wooden fence that will go down that corner. So, back in here, and, you know, we could...
Can alter that, or I guess put some type of requirement that they can't pick it up. The problem there is they come four in the morning or something. Well, and that's a great point, I tell you why. Because the lady that's living right behind it, back in that corner, sure doesn't want to hear that dumpster guy at 4 o'clock every morning, or how frequently they come. So its location, I would suspect, would probably be better suited back towards the road. Not Silver Bluff, but the... I can't think of the name.
Kind of like the power line east side.
Sorry.
You're saying the northern side this way?
Right.
Okay.
And you have this tree next to the house lines.
So that's about,
Jeff?
Yeah,
5 feet.
I have a comment. It seems there's a lot of ifs going on here, and maybes. And with the ifs and maybes, I don't know how you, as intelligent gentlemen, could possibly even submit a decision on these ifs and maybes. We've heard about the fire trucks, and they say, oh, yes, we'll have a large enough area for the fire trucks on the ground. Everybody's losing more trees, probably. We're talking about a large dumpster, which he's saying is pretty big. That's losing more trees. So the buffers that they're talking about be women. And I think a woman who, she's not here any longer, but she just talked about it's in her backyard, and the trees are very thin where they are. So maybe they're going to put a single tree. Maybe they'll come up with a landscape plan. I think that some of these issues, the signage issues, of this is not that driveway that they're putting on the house, the sign there, it will be a danger because you cannot hardly see going up and down. And there's a sign that's out in the street. It's not a very good position for this particular part of that. It's hard coming down there, 60 miles an hour. There's a turn, there's a turn lane going south into past cars. And it's sometimes under the turn lane, and the car sits by me at 50 miles an hour. I got in there my shop. I can hardly even make my right turn. So I own a car. So there's another obstruction by adding another sign or anything that they're going to put out on that street. So it's not something that I think that you can make an intelligent decision based upon information you know.
Ms. Hertzberg, I'd like to say something about that. One, your main thing about the traffic doesn't come before this commission. That is a Department of Transportation decision, a review, and everything else by them. What does come before us tonight is a variety of things, and we can include those in possible conditions of recommending this either negatively or favorably to City Council. And then those things would include things such as landscaping, tree preservation, open space, the buffer requirements for that, and different things like that. So I just want to make sure you understand that the things that we do, some of them we have the ability to address and recommend to council, and some things we don't. But this traffic issue thing, specifically how fast or can they have an exit or entrance or egress to Silver Bluff Road, is beyond us. I just want to make sure you understood that.
All right. Okay. Any more comments? Okay. We'll suspend the rules. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion and we may be good to discuss.
Okay. Good.
I'll make a motion on application 19-22001, a concept plan revision request of tax parcel 107-09-01-010. On the applicant Absolute Storage Management, that this be recommended favorably to City Council with the following possible conditions. One, that the development comply with the landscaping, tree preservation, open space, and buffer requirements of the actual zoning ordinance, including at least a 10-foot evergreen buffer placed as close as practical to the southern property boundary as a screen between the commercial use and the future residential uses. Two, that the signage comply with the requirements of the zoning ordinance. Three, that the applicant sign an agreement stating that the conditions of approval within 90 days. And four, that the developer submit a revised concept plan listing conditions of approval within 90 days. Five, that no exterior parking or storage be allowed outside of the facility. And six, that an exterior waste container be located on the exterior side as possibly approved by the planning commission, or correction, by the planning director, its actual location. And that's more part, well, that's my motion, and that's the part I want to talk about in discussion. So there's my motion.
Okay, you have a second.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
I don't know, Ryan, who would be best to decide that location. I think it's something that should be looked at as far as the exterior trash collection, because I wouldn't want it right up beside my house.
Okay. And the motion, basically in your motion, you call for it to be placed as remotely as possible from that side.
Right, and is approved by, I guess, the planning...
By planning director.
Planning director, in that way that he could go out there and look and actually visualize it, you know, or make a better judgment.
There's actually a 25, there's a, you said a 10-foot buffer on the southern side. There's actually a 25-foot buffer proposed on between it and Jim Lakes.
That's correct, actually. Thank you.
You
that's,
see?
That's right.
So that's the northern side, technically, Bob. The southern side's back toward the...
Just to clarify, staff placed that because the normal tree preservation ordinance would keep a buffer along the adjacent residential property to the north. Along the south is where we would suspect it would need to be augmented to create an additional buffer to any future development to the south, right? That's undetermined currently.
Would 25 feet be satisfactory on that?
So 10 feet is what the minimum of the zoning ordinance is. They've shown 20 feet as part of the concept plan approval to the properties to the north. So that would be what that buffer is. This is more specifying where there are thinner or no trees kind of to the south currently, that there would have to be augmented buffer in that location specifically.
Jack, would you be okay if I amended my motion when we go back?
Yeah. Move ahead and amend your amendment. Whoever seconded it, you did.
Charles, you're back.
20, I don't, is 25 more appropriate? You know, it takes a small bite out of their property, but it's certainly going to make it within the percentage of what is approved.
Right. Okay. Is that okay with it? Would you second?
I second.
My amendment would go from 10 to 25 feet.
Okay.
And on the southern portion as well?
Well, I don't know why you couldn't go all the way around. And once again, I still think that we would be within that percentage, that 5% percentage, because you're decreasing the size of that, or you're, excuse me, you're increasing the size of the buffer.
Right. Okay.
My only question is, and I don't disagree with you, Bob, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. Is that going to run into that easement of the Santee Cooper power line if we come out 25 feet?
Well, but if it's a buffer, you know, look, if they got to come down there and cut down trees, they're going to cut down trees.
Can I ask the engineer that question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you that question? Do you have 25 feet? Is that going to be a hardship to you guys at 25 feet?
I would like for it to be, can we split it on either side of the power line in case we, because of grading wise, I don't really like to plant trees on slopes. If you plant a tree, there is going to be some elevation change between the power line and the building in some areas. And I don't want to put it at the bottom of the slope, if that makes sense. So I'd rather, if I'm going to do that, I'd like to be able to split it equally. We have struck a property line in there. I'd like to put it on either side, see if I can split that up in there. You know, allow me to put 15 on our side and 15 on the other side of the power line, so it can be maintained on both parts.
I honestly think it makes more sense.
I do too.
But if you come down there and whack them in 20 years, it's going to look odd.
On a slope like this, and you put it down here, and the building up here, I want to build a shoulder and put it
right
where the building is and not that way. So, the thing is, the buffer is the problem with the tree that I'm planting.
Yeah.
So if I can split it on either side of the power line, it would give it.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that.
So amend the motion to, we need to be specific then.
Yeah, just a total of 25 split equally or somehow on either side. That's where the demarcation line is in the center of the power line.
I just don't want you to come back and be 5 and 20. The whole idea is that we're trying to give these...
It is 10. It's like 3 inches. It's expected. It can't be too close to the power line. It'll cut it down.
All right.
Does the statement say, a statement adjusting to the presence of a 75-foot overhead power easement, a 10-foot evergreen buffer should be placed as close as practical, would that take care? I mean, we have the statement in here.
Right. That's the way, I believe, that's the way I would understand the current motion to be.
That, Charles, if you're okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Then the motion would be amended, then Jack, to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of keeps everybody happy and it's fair.
Okay, any more discussion?
I think I have one question.
What did you say?
Yeah.
What was the agreement on the buffer?
Would you state it for Ryan as closely as you, what you agree, what you think it says? Make sure we're all on the same page.
So it requires a minimum 10-foot evergreen buffer and an additional 15-foot on the other side of the power line, is what I understood that.
So that was a proposed amended motion, which I don't believe we had received a second for.
Yeah, Charles seconded.
He seconded. That's what. Okay. And then
it'll be a total of 25 feet, so 10 foot up to the power line, an additional 15 foot on the other side of the power line, moving southward.
Correct. And also the. So, yes, so on the south side, yes, you have a 10-foot and 15-foot buffer on either side of the power line easement, plus the
25.
Plus you already have a 25-foot buffer noted on the north property line as part of the concept plan approval. Otherwise, it would need to meet city landscape regulations, which require street trees and different things like that, and tree preservation and kind of the normal requirements you'd have with any site plan.
Yeah, and also want to point out there is a in part of the plan, there is a large mentioned earlier on the frontage is still added where that detail is the same detail that was on the original screen of the property.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. Opposed? All right. Passed unanimously. All right. Now, 3C. Grant application for bicycle infrastructure. Everybody's seen that on their statement given to us by the planning directors. I don't know, other than just approving this, I don't know what.
We did have a gentleman here that wanted to speak, I know.
We have somebody who wants to talk about it, but other than proving it in general, I don't know. DOT, according to John, the DOT has made this issue, so I don't know, I'd be a bit reluctant to change it. Okay, you want to say something opposed or on behalf of it? There's nobody here on behalf of it, so you're the man.
My name is David Hill. I wanted to
ask for the
information.
Can you speak into that mic? Can you? If you can't, let us know. But if you can get around there, that'd be good.
Yeah, my name is David Neal.
Okay.
I live on that 1512 Hampton Avenue. But I'm moving into the place. But I'm.
You're on Hampton. You're on Hampton.
Hampton 1512 Hampton Avenue. Yeah. They haven't completely move into it, but I'm doing my best. I'm trying to get it done. But we have a big, big problem over there. My wife have called many a time because when it rains, he can't even come out the door. He can't. Maybe you can make it out the gate, but it's hard to get out of that. It's still a lot of water, but she have called City Hall. They give another number to call. Then they give her another number to call. But we haven't gotten anything done yet. And the VA put me a ramp so I can come out to the driveway. So I'm able to do that now. But they also told me, the VA said, come to you guys. ask for a grant because I'm just moving in. Maybe I could get some help.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, we are a planning commission.
Yeah.
All we're considering tonight is that there's a plan to move bicycles, have a bicycle path to kind of through Aiken and down Hampton and out to USCA and around and around and around. All we're doing tonight is kind of approving that plan. We got no access to funds. We got nothing to do with water or water prevention or detention or returning or anything like that. Now, the city... The city has a director, a water utilities director, and we can give you his name if you want after the meeting, and you can...
Okay, that'll help.
Might help.
That's another start.
That's a start, yeah.
And she has the paperwork right here about the sidewalk and stuff and all.
Got issues with the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really an issue, but... Where are you going to put the sidewalk? We can't even walk it.
We're not putting a sidewalk now.
Huh?
We're not putting a sidewalk in.
But they sprayed it already.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's a... This is, we got nothing to do with that.
Okay.
What I'm telling you. I'm sorry. But appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
All right.
Anybody, you want to say something?
She had some of the paperwork about the sidewalk.
Okay. Okay. That's all we need is a bicycle.
Not go on sidewalk.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. This lady might want to talk about. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Kimberly Tony. I reside at 1445 Lyon Drive. I saw the signs that show the bicycle infrastructure and had a few questions. One of them, on the picture shown, that the road signs on the very first one.
This one.
Let me back up first. This is a revised scope of work. So what's the original scope of work?
So the original scope of work for Hampton Avenue was to put share the lane markings, which are the markings you see in front of you. They're called sharrows, and as well as the bike route signage on the side of the road. So what sharrows do, they're not a bike lane, but they try to organize bike traffic and vehicular traffic. So you have essentially a recommended location for a cyclist to ride. And it also allows some additional awareness for vehicles and bikes as to where bikes would be predictably located on a road. However, on Hampton Avenue, the cost to do those lane markings with additional improvements that SCDOT was requiring, they are now, the amended proposal is to not do the sharrows, but essentially do the bike route signage, which is kind of just a general awareness. As well as designating it a bike route. It doesn't put any lane markings on, but it just lets both cyclists and vehicles know that there may be cyclists on that road, which there are a fair amount currently.
Sharing the same 10, 12-foot lane.
You technically could now.
They could ride there now.
And most don't because of the fear of getting hit.
Right.
On that stretch right now, there's a lot of overgrowth vegetation in the little intersections. Because of the shrubbery and everything that's overgrown, it's hard right now. I almost have to creep out into the lane before I can, you know, to make sure that I can cut across. So that's just a concern that I had. I was thinking it was more of a type of a road diet thing where you brought everything in and we're sharing it. So you're saying it's not. It's just going to be signage to say bike route. So we're all sharing the same
road.
Even though we just had a hit and run accident like last week or so, but we're sharing the same road.
There will probably be more.
Which is a concern.
We don't disagree with you.
We agree with you.
I mean, it's just that they have the right to ride the bicycle now as they do with the markings on there. But
I understand.
They take the risk at their own right.
Okay. So in that too, there's no landscape improvements or no lighting improvements either, just straight signage. Okay. The next one I had was on the Hayne Avenue Park and Hayne Avenue to Union. Was this issue already brought up previous years before with the whole Sharrow concept, and then they had to go back and change those markings again?
That's right.
And the cars, so now the cars are still going to park there, and you, with the potential of someone getting hit by the bike?
I don't know. They've marked out some of those, didn't they, Ryan, on Hayne?
They
marked out some of the ones that were on Hayne because they were having problems with people parking in front of houses, and they couldn't park on it. So
we're back to like revisiting that one again. Is that what this is?
Well, we're not doing Hayne.
Yeah, that is not included in this.
We're not doing Hayne. Right. Hayne's not in this. Park, Hampton Park, and what's the other one?
Richland.
But it comes from Hayne to Union.
Yeah, so it's the Hayne extension.
This is where it intersects Hayne. Okay.
Right.
All right, and then the last one is on Richland Avenue again with the overgrown vegetation, that crossover traffic. If you're sharing the road with a bike, it's the potential of somebody getting hit.
It sure is.
And concerns.
People can ride bicycles on any road they want.
I understand.
All we're saying, all they're saying, this money is trying to make people aware that there might be bicycle riders out there. There's people who want to ride bicycles out on Silver Bluff.
I completely understand that.
I mean, it's insanity in my mind, but, you know, they want to do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
New to Aiken within the last couple months. I'm an avid bicyclist, and
I see your shirt there.
I
give it that.
Are you one that's more aggressive than this? It says more bike lanes, but I've taken the time. I've been quite active in other cities where I live. I've taken the time to go through the comprehensive plan, and I frankly truly appreciate the work that was done to create the comprehensive plan, as I was a part of it in my previous city. I was on a
lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I was on the Parks and Recreation Commission in the city, and anything that can be done to raise awareness is good, in my opinion. The cycling creates and helps to create a really vibrant community, whether it's for recreation or whether it's for commuting. And I truly appreciate the work that was done in the planning of this and the attention that's paid. Thank you.
Here's what they ought to do with bicycles. They ought to just, if they want bicycles, they ought to, when they build a road, when they renovate a road, when they redo a road, they ought to put a 8-10 foot strip. Just get the right away. It's be very expensive, but people, you know, there's areas in Aiken County that people love to ride that are dangerous, very dangerous. And every year, people get killed. It's the Beach Island area where they run that stuff.
Well, the certainly cyclists are aware of it. Unfortunately, what you say is absolutely true. It would be an amazing thing to have a community with the foresight to plan new developments. It's
absolutely
going back in the infrastructure is quite
quite hard,
difficult, and you get a lot of
now Bill Gates
is in my backyard.
Bill Gates is building this brand new city out there in Arizona, and I suspect he will build bike paths. Miles and miles of them.
Yeah, there are many, many cities throughout the world who really, Copenhagen is one, Amsterdam is another.
Yeah, Europe did a lot better job.
It's quite different, and they have a lot of foresight, and I would hope that the people doing the planning for the future would take cycling into consideration. It helps relieve congestion, it helps health, it reduces the demand on the facilities within the community. There's many, many benefits.
Well, you got to ride bikes in Amsterdam because gas is $9 a gallon.
That's
part. You know, when gas is $10 a gallon, people ride a lot more bikes.
And, frankly, that's probably part of the plan.
Probably is.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Name?
Yeah, I could get your name for the minutes.
Al Clark.
Thank you.
Okay. But do we have a motion on the, I don't know, do we approve it? Do we need a motion to approve?
What you're doing is you would do a motion regarding consistency with the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Is what you are finding or not finding.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the TAP application for bicycle infrastructure. It consists of the share the road signs on Hampton Avenue from Camille to Vaucluse, share the road pavement markings on Park Avenue from Hayne to Union, share the road pavement markings on Richland from Pendleton to Waterloo, and that the cost of the city for the revised scope should not change from the original financial agreement for the grant, and that is based upon our comprehensive plan and the 2012 ARCS recommended bicycle facilities.
A second?
Second.
All in favor? Raise your hand. Opposed? No? Passed unanimously. Okay, we have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
I'm the vice chair for BPAC.
That's right.
A long meeting was, I mean, it was frankly gone good.
Thank you.
I can't.